just do a little bit better each time, and over time that adds up to a significant result. So it's important to make sure that the programs that you're following have gone through some reasonable level of vetting, and there's evidence to support not only their effectiveness, but also their safety.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. So glad you're listening to Health Power. I used to do a video series in 2015 on YouTube called What's Hot in Health? And I would look at different trends and things that were, you know, that you can do to stay fit and exercise. And they were very basic, like Zumba or kettlebells or things like that. But now, according to what's going on out there, there's some other trends that might be okay, but might not. And what you really want to do is talk to somebody in the know. We got the fantastic Cedric X. Bryant. He is the president and chief science officer. He has a PhD in FACSM, and he works with the American Council of Exercise, also known as ACE. And ACE is development of strategies to deliver exercise science and behavior change education in ways that are engaging and compelling. And he is here to help us. Cedric, welcome to Health Power.
Morning, Lisa. It's good to be on. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about ACE for people who aren't familiar.
Sure. The American Council on Exercise, or ACE, is a nonprofit organization that has a very simple mission. It's to get people moving. And I think because of our name being the American Council on Exercise, people don't fully appreciate what we mean by getting people moving. It's really to get people moving toward adopting and maintaining healthier lifestyles with a significant focus on physical activity related activities as well. However, we've been in existence since 1985. We certify, educate, and train health and exercise professionals to be able to help individuals with those journeys of change to becoming more physically active. We have about 92,000 or so of those individuals that call us their organization of choice and help us to fulfill that mission.
That's great. You know, Cedric, I just realized it's been 32 years. Oh my gosh, since I got certified. Long time. I did let it run out, but then I ended up getting my master's in public health and been doing health.
Oh, good for you.
But I'm still very interested in health and fitness. And I want to talk about some of these trends. So we've got, animal movements, the 12-3-30 treadmill routine, party cycling. If you can jump into these.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Fitness trends have been around for, you said you got certified 32 years ago. There were a lot of trends back then. So it isn't like they're increasing in number. It's just, I think with social media and so forth, they're just may appear to be more prevalent. But one of the things that we've done as an organization, we think it's important as individuals are starting to consider what might I want to do to try to improve my level of activity participation. And there's so many choices out there and people really don't know how to sort through these choices. So as far back as 30 plus years ago, we've been sponsoring research studies to actually test these various trends and programs and products to see what can and can they not do for folks. I mean, we've studied things from Zumba to hot yoga to, you remember the P90X programs?
Oh, yes.
You remember the shake weight?
Yep.
And so what we do is we make a practice of trying to be able to give the consumer unbiased, reliable information that they can use to make a more informed decision in terms of what might be right for them. And, you know, interestingly, many of these trends actually do provide a reasonable workout. They can be performed safely, provided there's adequate guidance. And so our intent is not to poo-poo these things, but it's really just to provide individuals with trusted information that they can rely on to be able to make more informed decisions. And some of the ones that you mentioned, ironically, we just are in the midst of sponsoring a study to test the 12-3-30 workout that you mentioned. And all that workout is, it was a fitfluencer who she lost a lot of weight following this. And basically it's walking on a motor-driven treadmill at 3 miles an hour, 12% elevation for 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And so that's what those numbers mean. And so we're just have commissioned a study to look at and examine, you know, would be the level of energy expenditure, number of calories you might burn doing so. What are people's reported, you know, kind of experiences in terms of perceived effort, level of enjoyment, mm-hmm. all those things that we think are important in helping people to kind of make a better decision.
You know, you use the word fitfluencers, and I think about influencers. That mm-hmm. wasn't around 32 years ago when I got
it. Was not.
It wasn't around in your, you know, in our society, our time. And that can be tricky, right? Because yes. this is something works for one person doesn't mean it works for everybody. There's bio-individuality. So talk to us about that and why we need to be careful not just to follow someone with lots of followers who look like they're in great shape and do whatever they say.
Excellent point, Lisa. And you know, there are a couple problems with just indiscriminately following someone because they mm-hmm. found a recipe that works for them, because you're right, we're all unique individuals, and so our bodies are going to respond to similar challenges differently. And so it's important to make sure that the programs that you're following have gone through some reasonable level of vetting, and there's evidence to support not only their effectiveness, but also their safety, so that you're not putting yourself potentially at risk. And so one of the things that I think happens with regard to a lot of these workouts that we can access on social media, they're really driven by someone's personal experience, and they become kind of, you know, the evangelist for that experience, and other people just kind of indiscriminately follow. And that's one of the reasons why we do have that research program and commission research to examine and test these things. Fortunately, the human body is pretty adaptable. And so as long as you can be smart enough to make what I'd say are common sense decisions, most people aren't going to put themselves at grave risk, because they will start to experience soreness, undue fatigue before they really get into significant problems. It's right. the person who, say, may have been the former competitive athlete who hasn't been exercising for a while, who follows one of these programs that might be a little too much for their current level of fitness.
Right.
And they may be the type who won't listen to their bodies and try to push yes. themselves beyond what they're capable of. But the typical average person is usually going to back off before they kind of push themselves into trouble. But we want to try to help people avoid even being able to requiring them to be able to have that sense of awareness. And
yes.
that's why we do these studies, so we can try to identify if there are issues or concerns so that we can alert the public to those.
Right. You know, one of the things that has bothered me in the fitness industry as a whole is the whole no pain, no gain. To me, and I know people might use it in a different way, I take it literally. If there's yes. pain, you stop and figure out what's going on. Don't keep pushing.
Absolutely. Right? And that's just the myth. It's an old myth from really kind of old competitive sports, is that right. you've got to push yourself to the point of pain. If not, you're not you know, deriving any benefit. And really, I think a better thought process is to really kind of borrow from pharmacology, if you will, and think of the minimum effective dose to elicit the response you're looking for.
Right.
And so it shouldn't be this god-awful, painful experience in order to get good benefit, and to realize that you want to just do a little bit better each time, and over time that adds up to a significant result. Kind of ordinary things done regularly will produce extraordinary results. And that's, I think, what people need to kind of take that view.
You know, Cedric, I'm in my 50s now. And one of the things that I've noticed, and I won't go on and on because I'm sure my listeners are sick of it, but I have three different types of tendonitis right now.
Okay.
And it can be very frustrating. So for me, getting older, I want to be functional. So I'm in physical therapy right now. I do my exercises. Mm-hmm. I want to move well. I want to be functional. I'm not going to lie and say I don't care how I look, because I do. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I want to feel good. So can you give us some advice for people 50 and over in terms of setting up a good exercise program? And especially for those foundational moves of getting up and down from a chair, of stepping on, going on steps, things like that?
Sure. There are a kind of core activity of daily living movements that you have to be able to appropriately navigate, I think, to have the type of lifestyle you deserve and should really strive for. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think we're starting to learn, particularly as we mature as a society, is starting to appreciate the importance of resistance training.
Yes.
And mobility, because those two things are really what oftentimes limit folks as they get older in terms of really having a high quality of life.
Right.
Not to diminish the importance of cardiovascular or aerobic training, but you really need to have that combination of both. And that's why the current guidelines recommend that individuals accumulate 150 minutes of aerobic type activity, perform most days, so about 30 minutes, 5 days a week roughly would, accomplish that. And then at least 2 times per week of resistance training, focused on building the major muscle groups that allow us to move and function. If
right.
we were to kind of use a down and dirty analogy to an automobile, if you think about our muscles really function like our engines and in a car, and then the cardiovascular system is kind of like the fuel pump. The cardiovascular system pumps the blood to the muscles to allow them to contract and perform, but it's the action of the muscles or the engines that allow us to move and function.
Right.
So who would want to have a car that has a great fuel pump but a lousy engine? And we
right.
have to think about that when we think about in terms of the importance of building and maintaining our levels of muscle fitness. And that's And typically, even more so, I would say, for women,
right.
because we know that doing that resistance type work also helps in terms of preservation of bone mass. So
right.
there are a lot of and I think I love how you say you're so concerned about function, because
yes.
that's really what allows us, I think, to experience the fullness of life.
Yeah.
And what's been my experience is that when individuals kind of focused on climbing the right mountain, if you will, they come across a lot of kind of side benefits. And one of those, when you're focusing on function and focusing on muscular fitness in a more well-rounded program, one of the natural byproducts is that you are going to see improvements in your body composition. You will look better. You will feel better. You'll feel more empowered. You'll feel stronger. And all those things.
Right.
Help improve your overall mental outlook. And one of the things that we know coming out of the pandemic is that individuals are looking for a kind of more holistic experience.
Right.
And really focused on, okay, what's going to make me feel better? What's going to help me handle the stresses of life better? And being physically active in a well-rounded program is going to do that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what would you say women in their 60s who have never lifted weights? Maybe back in the day, they did the Jane Fonda they did aerobics, and they were very big on, because I meet a lot of women like that, like they're cardiovascular, but mm-hmm. the strength training is new. Where would we start? Resistant bands, light weights, body weight exercises? What would you recommend?
All of what you mentioned are actually good options. And, and the thing about it is that our muscles are what we refer to as motor fibers. They're not sensory fibers. And what I mean by that is that they don't have little brains inside of them and say, I'm using a $10,000 piece of equipment or a soup can.
Right.
What they respond to is that you're providing some type of load that is requiring them to exert force. And so you can use household items, you can use bands, and there are a lot of good free resources available for them to access. For example, our organization, we have on our website, we have an exercise library that demonstrates exercises for all the major muscle groups.
That's great.
At different levels of intensity for that person who's the beginner versus the person who's more advanced for different types of goals. And so what I'd recommend is just really kind of starting low and going slow again, and finding just whatever whatever items you have around, and your own body weight can be the start.
Yeah,
where you just start while during commercials. A great thing for the lower extremity is just do what are called sit to stands.
Right.
Basically, you're sitting in your chair and you stand and do, you know, 15 reps of that during the commercial break. Then maybe you might do some wall push-ups for the next commercial break, and just start to introduce and kind of sneak in what I refer to these activity snacks, so that isn't something that's overwhelming, that is going to require you to necessarily go to a gym or do anything that's kind of outside of what you're already doing.
Right. I love that point. I think a lot of people think they have to join the gym and then they're maybe out of shape and they're really intimidated.
Right.
Now, if somebody does want to take to the next level, then I would think get working with a trainer could be helpful.
Yes. And you want to make sure that you're working with a trainer who is used to working with someone that fits your profile.
Yes.
Because you want to make sure you're working with a trainer who understands some of the unique needs and really can relate to and you can connect with. Because it's called personal training for a reason, because you've got to be able to establish a personal connection. And so, again, you've got to think about their communication style. Does it resonate with how you like to be communicated with? And factor those things in along with their education, training, and experience in working with someone like yourself.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Now, I was raised with a mother who swam and a dad who ran marathons. And
you were lucky.
Well, my mom also had, and sadly, though, on the other hand, she had chronic knee pain. She had some bad surgeries. But swimming was one of the things that made her feel good. But I remember her watching Jack LaLanne and just being so impressed. What influenced you to not only be in fit, have a career in fitness, but just be, you know, interested in healthy living in the first place?
Well, I was always into athletics, and so it was just kind of a natural byproduct. But what really got me into the kind of the science side and really understanding the body is I severed my ACL when I was 19.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
So that is where I really just got fascinated with really trying to understand the body and you know, how it recovers, how it adapts to stress and so forth. And I'm lucky in that I never work.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because I just so love what I do.
You know, I'd love your opinion on the weight loss drugs, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm.
Medications.
You know, I tend to see a lot of celebrities that really don't need to lose much weight. Some of them just getting, like, to me, sickly thin looking. But what are you seeing?
Well, I think there are a couple things, because it really is a complex issue. And I think you hit on one thing is that I think in part because of what we see presented on social media and some of the body images and so forth, where there are individuals who, you know, I joked and I said, you were lucky that you had your mom and dad because of their activity lifestyles. There are other folks who are lucky that they have their moms and dads because of what their body images are like. And that they, Jimmy Kimmel jokes about people winning the genetic lottery. And
that
is what happens with a lot of these people we see on social media who have these bodies that people aspire to. And so I think it causes a lot of body dissatisfaction, if you will. That lends itself to what you described in terms of the person who really doesn't need to lose a great deal of weight, who might be lured into seeking these GLP-1 meds as a way of doing that. But for that individual who has been struggling with their weight or their lifetime, I think it's hard for those of us who have never had that challenge or experience to understand how emotionally challenging that is, and that those individuals are oftentimes desperate to be able to find something that's going to work.
Right.
And we do know that these GLP-1 drugs can help people lose weight, but really, I always define effective weight management as the ability to lose weight and keep it off.
Yes.
And that's where you need to couple these with effective lifestyle change.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's, I think that's part of that's one of the missing elements to the story, because for many of these people, it gives them an opportunity to experience some weight loss that can perhaps open up other avenues and doors right. to a healthier lifestyle for them. And if we're honest, weight bias is probably still the most accepted form of prejudice that exists in our society.
Yes. And it's very upsetting. I do have friends that are overweight and the doctors treat them like crap. And right. I have friends I've known who are skinny and live on junk food. So it's not right. always a size thing. And I think, you know, with what I worry about is I've heard on those medications, you lose muscle.
That's part of that lifestyle change that has to be combined with it in terms right. of, you know, resistance training.
Yes.
Aerobic training, developing a good, healthy strategy for your nutrition. All those things have to be a part of it, because it isn't just getting to a weight. It's getting to a weight that is sustainable.
Right.
Because I think that's part of the emotional frustration and challenge that many of these people have, is that they have never been able to find that thing that just works for them.
Right.
For the long haul. They experience these short term successes, and then all of a sudden they feel like a failure because they've regained the weight, and in many cases even more. And we right. do know that probably the most powerful benefit of exercise as it relates to weight loss, weight management, is helping individuals sustain whatever weight loss they've achieved.
Right. You know, I've heard it's 80% in the kitchen and 20% in the gym. Would you say
that's probably a good rough and dirty analogy? Yes.
Right. But you still need the exercise.
Right. But we do right. know, if you look at the National Weight Registry, where they track individuals who have lost 30 kilograms or say about 60 pounds of weight, and see how well they keep it off. What they did find is that for those individuals who were able to keep it off for an extended period of time, 90%+ of those folks were regularly engaging in physical activity. And the numbers drop pretty significantly for those who don't. And so that's where exercise has a very profound benefit.
I have tried so many skin and hair care products. I can't even tell you. It's insane. I mean, at one point, the closet in my bathroom was full with every imaginable product. And then I found what works, and that is OneEarthBodyCare.com. I am in love with their shampoo and conditioner bars. Completely changed the game for my daughter, who had a hard time finding a good shampoo and conditioner for her hair. Their face and body is amazing. I love their day and night oil, all natural ingredients, of course, and all of this, essential oils, really great stuff. And of course, the deodorant has changed my life because I am no longer smelly. So go check them out now at OneEarthBodyCare.com.
Now, Cedric, I'm curious about your opinion on nutrition. I mean, with all the different vegan, keto, paleo, I call myself a whole foodarian, not related mm-hmm. to the whole foods. Just eat whole foods. Like mm-hmm. try to avoid fat. I know it's hard in our society, but do your best, right, to limit mm-hmm. a lot of highly processed foods. What's your opinion?
I would be inclined to agree with, because you know, whenever they do assessments of various dietary approaches, the Mediterranean diet is probably always one of the ones that scores at the top, and right. we do know that consuming less, you know, processed foods, highly processed foods, is healthier. But the other thing I would encourage people to do too is, because there is such a high degree of individual variability, is this important, and that's why I say kind of find an eating plan that works for you. And it may be some combination of the various things that are out there. It might be a Mediterranean diet approach combined with some of the intermittent fasting.
Right.
Might be a way for you to control your energy, but you've got to find that program that you can commit to that fits into your lifestyle, because that's probably going to be the one that you're going to adhere to.
Right.
The only caveat is to make sure that it isn't some crazy fad diet encouraging some type of special supplements you have to take, or restricting yourself overly restrictive, where you can't consume certain, you know, foods and certain amounts and so forth.
Yeah, you're so right. You know, I love Pilates and my husband loves yoga and teaches yoga. And I've heard people say, I hate exercise. And I always say, but there's so many. Have you tried everything? What do you say when you hear that?
Well, and that's the thing. I tell people to sample.
Yeah.
You're right. Because I think you just haven't found what's right for you. And that's why I am excited to see, you know, even some of the recreational activities like pickleball, for example.
Oh, dying to try that. Once my elbow's healed.
it's great because I really think that for a lot of people who, and let's face it, I think the largest slice of our population doesn't particularly enjoy just working out.
Yeah.
So what I try to encourage people to do is to try to find movement experiences that you enjoy.
Yes.
And start there. And then maybe what can happen is that movement experience can serve as the impetus for you to say, well, you know, I want to do this a little bit better. So I'm going to maybe engage in a little bit of resistance training or some more cardio training, but you know, dance.
Yeah.
Really just, I like to say just about any ING activity with the exception of sun tanning is probably going to get you some benefit.
Exactly. Yeah, I am dying to try pickleball.
It's a great little activity. And we studied that to look at the energy cost associated with it.
Oh.
And it certainly fits the bill of being able to give you an adequate dose to bring about some cardio benefit. So
that's great. Yeah. Now, Cedric, what are your
favorite? But it's fun too, and it's social.
See right there before we get to the social aspect, and especially as people get older, loneliness.
Exactly.
I mentioned it. I swear, it seems like almost every show, but the Surgeon General came out saying loneliness is a public health epidemic.
Oh, it is. And the pandemic just exacerbated it. And so that's why I think activities like pickleball have exploded in popularity.
Yes, absolutely. Now, what are some of your favorite activities to do?
My favorite I got addicted to golf about 10 years or so ago. So I really enjoy that. I love all racket sports to include pickleball. So pickleball, tennis, squash, racquetball. I love those. And I do train in terms of resistance training and cardio training to support those recreational activities that I love. So I can do those with less pain.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I remember in the early 80s, we joined a tennis club and it had racquetball and it was all the rage back then. And
yes.
I played as a kid. I wasn't any good, but my dad really played. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I had protective goggles.
Yes.
But that's fun. And isn't squash, is that the same thing? Or does it
squash but you play with a ball that doesn't bounce as much. You're on a smaller court with a longer racket.
Oh, interesting.
But it's probably relies more on kind of fast reactions than racquetball, but it's a fun game. Yeah.
Now my favorite activity in life is swimming.
Mm. Okay.
And I live for the summer because I'm in New England and it stays cold until like mid-May basically. So once we open the pool, what are some other great activities for people who do, like myself, have tendonitis or arthritis or other issues? I know the water is a great one.
I think aquatics in general are very nice because they're joint friendly, if you will.
Yes.
And so I think, you know, finding, and for individuals who say are other side of 50, you know, you can find, different, aerobic, classes that are done in the water environment because the buoyancy helps, but you also get a little resistance, from the water as well, which can help with some muscle building. I would say, again, I think, people just, particularly as the weather is improving, kind of be an adventurer, you know, go on, you know, walks. It doesn't necessarily have to be a hike. And you can, you know, walk simple trails. There are, our parks and rec systems have a lot of nice, trails that people can walk and experience nature. Cause one of the things we do know as well is that, from a mental health perspective, being out and connected to nature can help with kind of causing that anxiety relieving effect as well, which, you know, who isn't under some level of stress?
Yes, I know, right?
Yeah.
I actually recommend to people, if you can afford it and it fits in your lifestyle, get a dog. Like,
you know what? Dogs can be personal, their own little personal trainers.
And they're great for loneliness.
Oh, exactly. It's companionship. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a huge, everyone knows, I'm a huge fan of dogs. You know, I saw a couple of years ago that they were actually putting like bikes in water. Have you seen that? Like,
yeah, they have those. Yes. Right? Mm-hmm.
That looks fun. What do you think of that?
No. And talking to someone like you who would just enjoys the water.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, the one thing I will say is that some people, and that's where I think, getting back to the GLP-1 meds, some people are hesitant to take advantage of the water environment because they don't want to be in a bathing suit.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why being able to help them achieve some weight loss could open up other potential activities for them that they're currently inhibited from trying because of their concerns about their physical appearance.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm a size 12 to 14, which I talk openly on the show. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. not a twig, but I'm in good shape. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I even get kind of like, oh God, bathing suit season. But then I get over it quickly because I'm like, I just got to swim. Right. I just got to swim.
But I would say you're probably unique in that regard because you have, I think, a much more informed, healthier perspective on things.
Yes.
But a lot of people, it's like, that to them, that's a fate worse than death to
I know,
be
it's
exposed
so sad.
Like that.
Yeah. I know our society mm-hmm. is so yeah. mm-hmm. just out of hand with yeah. the body image. And that's where, you know, social media is good and bad, right?
Exactly. Because, yeah.
And it can be a double-edged sword for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, when you're not working or exercising, are there other things you like to do?
Well, yes, there are. I have the pleasure of raising 4 sons, and now we have 3 granddaughters.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I just absolutely love being a grandpa.
Oh, my gosh, that's so nice.
Yeah, it's nice to get the other side of the coin now. So, yeah, it's that's where I prioritize my time, is trying to spend as much time with my 3 granddaughters.
Oh, that's fantastic. And before I let you go, if someone's listening and says, yeah, you know, I've been thinking of becoming a personal trainer, what kind of background do they need? Or can they just study for the test if they're just the person who's really into fitness? How does that work?
There's a wide spectrum of folks. We have folks who have, you know, gone through exercise science and kinesiology programs in college and to go on to become personal trainers. We have folks who are career changers. They got sick of sitting behind a desk as an accountant and they want to work with people. And, you know, we have the whole gamut, and we have study programs that can accommodate that wide range where you can have a more guided experience for that person who doesn't have the background, where they can work with a study coach, can help them to learn, you know, the knowledge skills that are required to be able to successfully pass the exam. And they can be also, for those who are further along, they can just come in, take the exam if they want. They can do a refresher course, and people can find all that information pretty easily on our website at acefitness.org.
Oh, great. And do you have a health coaching program now?
We have a health coaching program as well. Yes.
Oh, I was mm-hmm. thinking, you know, it's funny because I have a master's in public health. I did a lot mm-hmm. of health coaching, but it was over 20 years ago. And I've been doing the you know, the podcast and other media. And I was thinking about you guys. I thought, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. So
what I will do, Lisa, because I have your contact information. Oh. I'll send you some information on our health coaching program resources. Yeah.
Oh, great. Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Well, Cedric, is there anything we didn't touch on today that you'd love to share before we go?
No, but I love your thought process in terms of really trying to get people digestible, implementable, kind of tips and guidance for helping them to kind of start that fitness journey. And I think I'd encourage people to look at it as a journey. And so it's not going to be a straight line of nothing but success and pleasant experiences. There may be some detours, but if you just kind of keep trucking along that journey, at the end, there's a nice prize that awaits you.
Oh, that is so good to know. All right, Cedric, tell us all the ways we can find out about ACE.
The simplest is on our website, because then you'll find out about all of our various social media channels as well. And so acefitness.org.
Well, Cedric, this has been great. Everybody, find what you like. I will not accept I hate exercise as an excuse.
That's right.
There is something out there for you. My recommendation is get in the pool. But again, I know, do whatever you like. Anyway, keep coming back to Health Power 5 days a week and follow me. I just started a YouTube page. So YouTube.com/@LisaDavisMPH. And I'm super excited, taking all the clips from the shows and throwing them up there. So everybody keep coming back and have a great day.
Well, that's it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you, and we would appreciate it if you could please rate and review and leave a comment, because the more you engage with our podcast, the more you will find it and help other people find it wherever they listen to their podcast. So be sure to follow us. I'm at Andrea Donsky and at Naturally Savvy, and Lisa
at Lisa Davis MPH.
Thank you so much. And please share this episode, because the more you share shows you care. We'll see you next time.